tuned in to Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
The Internet of Things promised us a smarter, more connected life. Fridges that remind us to buy milk, thermostats that anticipate our comfort, watches, they know more about our bodies than we do. But behind the magic of automation lies a growing concern. Who's watching the watches? When our homes, cars, offices, even our baby monitors are all connected to the internet, we are essentially building a digital map of our lives. And that map, it can be hacked. It can be sold. It can be weaponized. So what does privacy or privacy even mean in a world where your coffee machine can snitch? Today's guest is here to unpack it all. Samuel Lefupane is a respected cybersecurity professional and Internet of Things specialist whose work sits right at the intersection of technology, security, and digital ethics. He's part of a rare breed that not only understands the technical layers of IoT infrastructure, but also the human consequences when the architecture is breached. He's here to help us move beyond convenience and into conscious use. Because in a world where everything is connected, ignorance is the biggest vulnerability. So whether you're a tech lover, a business leader, or just someone with a smart TV, this conversation is for you. Brother Samuel, I'm so happy to be hosting you tonight. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
How has your day been?
I know it's been okay.
Okay. Are you ready for this chat? I'm so curious. I have so many questions I want to ask you.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, let's start at the root. What is the true cost of convenience in a hyper-connected world?
Yes, as you have introduced, when we speak around connectivity,
yeah,
we mostly talk about devices that we use every day. Mm. And looking at the world now, as we have seen, the cost for interacting on the network, it has decreased dramatically due to the advances in technologies and improvements in how people communicate around each other. Mm-hmm. But the market, as you asked, it's very, very increasing. And what we have seen is the rise of attackers,
yeah,
or on the network that tries to steal information or manipulate users or to try to gain access to some data that for them it's very useful.
Yeah. So you're saying the trade-off we're making for being so connected is exposing ourselves. We are essentially vulnerable.
Yeah, it's a twofold.
Okay.
Because in a digital world,
yes,
there is no system that is securely or proven that it cannot be hacked or attacked.
Mm.
So we do need digital advancements in our lives now because that's how the world is moving.
Yeah.
So yes, but as long as we do improve in our technological usage and innovations, we do need to look at security as well, because that is the main crucial part so that it can keep us and our kids and everyone that we love safe.
Yeah. If I don't connect things that I understand with those that I don't, I'm often left behind. So the way I'm understanding this thing is, you know, in any relationship, whether it's romantic or familial or friendship, to be connected, you have to expose yourself. But also that connectivity exposes you because people see all of those things, right? And it's convenient to be connected. But so that's how I'm understanding it in my mind, that's the payoff we need to make to stay connected. So let me understand something, right? Because I think there's a lot of risks that are misunderstood in the space. Like everyday people don't really know how to interact with this entire thing. So what are the most misunderstood risks everyday people face when they bring Internet of Things into their homes?
I think it's just most people just take things for ease. Mm-hmm. I think the first thing is to learn. As an example, for now, there is introductions to social media applications that it's roaming around us or getting introduced every day. The basic thing that we just need to do is to learn how to use that particular type of application or technology. So it goes with IoT devices. If you, if you just for instance, if we take a smartphone, this is one of the gadgets that it has been proven that it's stealing, or it's a way in which most of our attackers gets to steal our identities, gets to learn of our patterns, how we. How we live, where, who do we visit, what do we do generally. And if you look at that, it goes to the simplest or fundamental things. Smartphone is just a gadget, but we do need applications to use them. The moment you install something, you need to learn how it operates. But where what we have seen outside is that most people don't take time to protect themselves against it. So they install applications that later they get to learn that, oh, this thing is actually tracking me. And by that time, most of the attackers, they've already gathered much of your information that they can use to then, do harm to you or yes.
You know what's even worse, Sam? When we get onto these applications, they say, I have read their terms and conditions, and you haven't even clicked on that thing. You just say, accept.
Yes, absolutely.
Accept.
Yeah, and the trick there is they put a long list of which they know you will never go. And somewhere down there, it's one clause that is very important to say that, for example, the application that you're going to install in your phone, it's going to record some of the conversations that you have. And you're not aware of them.
I didn't even know that. And I've said agree.
Absolutely.
That is crazy. And because I don't want to leave anyone behind, I'm thinking of my mom right now who's listening to the show. She's probably like, what is IoT? What are these people talking about? So explain IoT, please, to a, how old is my mom? To a 66-year-old woman.
Yes, yes. No, no, absolutely. Internet of Things, it's we're talking about smart devices.
And by smart devices, meaning they connect to the internet.
Yes, things that can be connected in a network. So they can start exchanging data amongst themselves. But there are certain elements to those kind of devices so that we can classify them as being smart, because first they have to identify, so they have to have some component of doing identification. And the other element is they have to be able to sense. Sensing meaning they should be able to acquire data. If you, like a microphone, if you talk to a microphone, it can be able to store your your voice and so forth. And the third element is that that those devices, they should be able to communicate. And this is where now the network part of things come in, because once they gather those kind of data and they can be able to identify, so they will know that I'm actually recording this data and this data is temperature or it's humidity and so forth. So once they are able to communicate that data to another device or another layer, then one of the things is that before they can even communicate that data, some devices, they've got capability to do computation. So they can be able to learn to say, oh, this type of data that I'm gathering is actually temperature, but it can, it's actually telling me that yesterday it was too cold than today, and so forth. So they have got some smart way of being able to recognize the data. So those are the fundamental layers of when we talk about an IoT application. Of course, there are certain levels where we look at the services and semantics, but on a lower level, if you have to explain to someone, we then get to classify those devices as IoT devices or smart devices.
Got it. You know, I'm sitting here listening to you speak and I'm thinking, our brains are brilliant. How we've been able to come up with so all of these things, the code, the, no, we are very brilliant people. We've got to give that to ourselves. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I've always heard some people say. I'm not important enough to hack. Why is this a dangerous assumption?
They then say I'm not that
Who would hack me? Who would hack me? I'm not that important.
No, absolutely. That is a very big mistake because in this world, data is one of the, and we do know that data is one of the most growing area of business.
Yeah, it's all a currency. This, it's a currency absolutely. Like gold.
Absolutely. That's gold now. Data is gold. And that's why now our information is just roaming around. Everyone knows your cell number. They know your ID number.
Yeah.
And you don't even know them. And the reason why they do know that is because at some point you open an account and that data, there are certain clauses that we do sign, and they do get to ask us, can we use your personal data for marketing purposes? And some of us tick that. But even before, even if you don't tick that, some business, they operate in an illegal way where they sell this data to other people and so forth. So everyone is important now. So they can never make that assumption that I'm not that important to be hacked. Because even if you, for you, I can classify myself as being poor, I don't have any, but I'm related to someone.
I'm so glad you went there. Yes, because there's connection.
Absolutely. So if they want to get to my uncle who is owning business, they can get him through me. Because if they learn my information, when they go to him, they can use those social engineering attack methods where they come as if it's me. So they present my data to him so to fool him that he thinks that he's interacting with me, whereas he's interacting with someone else. And that's how they manage to. So everyone is important in a digital era.
And I really want to double click on that one, right? Because I want to create awareness, but also just open people's eyes so that they can be sharp the next time something like this comes knocking at their door. I really want you to paint a picture of how a typical IoT attack might unfold in a home or a business setting, so that people are on their toes when something like this is creeping up on them and they don't find themselves being victims.
Absolutely. And on that question, it's a simple one that we all know. And I think everyone now have been a victim. It's the social engineering type of attacks that we do get. Even organizations now, they are aware of that. They're spending a lot of money in terms of preventing those or training the employees so that they can be aware of this social engineering type of attacks, where an attacker can pose as someone that you trust, maybe a bank.
Yes.
So they send you an email or they call you. And on that call, they can use generative AI. Cannot even recognize that actually this is an hacker or so forth. And in that instance, this is where now they use tactics where you believe that you are interacting with a trusted party.
Yeah.
For example, maybe a bank, and they ask you to say, click on this link. We've identified that in yesterday you went to Pick and Pay, and which they're telling you the truth, because remember now they've got data. They know your patterns. They know that Sam normally shops at this shop and even they say Pick and Pay. No, yes, yesterday I was there. I made a transaction of this amount. So they're saying, no, that transaction was illegal. Actually, click on this link and we will try to reverse that funds for you. And those are the type of attacks that everyone nowadays gets exposed to.
Yes. I remember a couple of, maybe it was like a month or two, I got a call. Hey, I'm just going to use a random name because I forgot the name.
Yes.
Hey, I am Sbusiso from this bank. Did you use your card recently? I'm like, yes. Okay, so did you use it for an online transaction or did you use it in store? So at first I wasn't picking it up, right? So I was just I was confirming certain things. Okay, do you have savings? Do they go up to this amount? And I was just like, brother, excuse me.
Absolutely.
Because why are you gathering this information? If you are my bank, you have it on record. That's why at the end of the month you can send me a statement because you are well clued up. And so I took that number and I put it on Truecaller. The comments that I saw people make, this one person was like, my mom's entire pension fund was stolen by these people. They withdrew 90,000 rand from my account after I told them that I've got money. It was so sad to see so many people fall victim because they sound innocent. They sound interested, right? And it's your bank. You have an account with them because you trust them, or so you think it's your bank. And so if people are really not alert to the fact that your data is gold and questions give people information, and that information is the data. You going onto a site and you confirming certain things, that is data and it can be used against you, whether willing or unwilling. Because imagine you're just saying yes, 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 yes. Next thing, your money is gone because you trusted somebody with your account number and all of those details. So I really hope that people, and I know it will make us paranoid. I know it will make us now not trust anybody. I remember when I got mugged. Every person in the mall that spoke to me, I was just like, are you going to mug me? I was so scared. But sometimes that caution and sometimes that paranoia can really save us, because then we start questioning why certain questions are being fielded our way, you know?
Absolutely. And I like the way you put it, because in this age or in this digital age, you cannot just trust someone without authenticating, without making sure or taking those necessary steps to ensure that you're talking to the correct person. And that is very, very important. Even as you asked earlier to say, in a home setup, what kind of measures must we take? Those are the crucial aspect of things to say. Even if we buy a gadget, something that we know that is going to link us to our computer, or we're going to use it to automate our homes, to lock the doors, to ensure this. Let's make sure that we learn the basics so that we can be able to secure that device. Because those are the most critical aspects these days. Because as you, the example you were giving, nowadays, even if you interact to someone, make sure that you protect your identity. So it goes the same way. Even if we buy these devices, the gaming consoles that our kids connect to the network, to people over the, around the whole world, let's make sure that we ensure that security, it's one of the most important aspects in those devices. Before we can even connect them to the network, we make sure that they are protected, so that someone, even if someone tries to hack it, it's not going to be a lame person. It's not that it's not going to be hacked, but it's they will have to spend some energy and time to ensure that they hack your device.
Oh, man, that's so important. And it's things we don't think about, but I'm glad we're having this conversation, because the next time we want to connect to a network, the next time we buy these devices, we'll be more alert and sharp to say, okay, what am I actually signing up for? What does this connection mean? And we can protect ourselves in that way. So I'm so glad that you're here to open our eyes to these things. Yeah. Now, I often wonder whether in the rush to innovate, do tech companies actually prioritize functionality over security? What do you think?
Yes. No, absolutely. No, they do. And that is one aspect, because they are pushed by the law. And I think even previously when you mentioned, one of the examples is that where these technologies can be used to hack us or to steal our information. There are policies, there are acts, there are regulations. Each and every country puts those regulations to protect the people. Because if they don't do that, imagine even criminals will go and manufacture these devices and sell them to us. whereas they will then, yes. So each and every tech company, there are certain industrial standards that they have to conform to. And there are certain tests that the device, before it can be even sold to the consumers, it has to pass certain criteria so that it can be classified that indeed this is safe to be used or consumed by people. Absolutely.
And I'd actually, now that you're mentioning that, I'd actually love to hear some of these legal protections or regulations that currently exist, right? I'm just a nerd and I love to know these things. But also, I think at times when we don't know how much the law protects us and when we don't know what we can do, then when we fall prey to these scams or when we become victims of these things, then there's no recourse that we take or there's no course of action that we take. So what are these legal protections? What are these regulations that currently exist now? And what are the gaps that can be improved on?
Oh, yes. So if we start on the technological side of things, so of course, all these devices, especially those devices that gather personal information of people, like, say, for example, our smartphones and so forth, or the applications that we get to install on these devices, there are certain tests that they have to conform to. For example, if it's a device that you have to interact to, let's take an example of an ATM when we go to an ATM, there are certain standards that all of these gadgets, the cards that the banks gives us to, before they can even give us to us as consumers, there are certain tests and standards that they have to pass through. So those are the types of protection from the technological side that we do know that this device, once I get to use it, at some level, it protects me. It doesn't protect me fully, but at some level, it does ensure that I am protected. The data, when I'm trying to communicate with the device, the data is encrypted. So it means not everyone, even if they intercept the medium, even if they steal that data, it's not going to be easy for them to decrypt and know what is it that I'm trying to send to. So that is on the technological side. When we go to the regulations or the countryside, each and every country, if we take, for example, South Africa, there are certain acts and regulations that have been introduced to protect our, let's start with digital identity, our digital identity. So if you look at POPIA, this is one of the acts that it's there to ensure that people's identity or data is protected by those organizations that consume them. And if you go to the laws that ensures security, if we look at cybersecurity, there is an act currently in South Africa that talks about cybercrimes, right? So that talks about what is it that needs to be enforced in organizations that develops this technology so that when people use it, it's not easily for other people to then be able to hack them.
Yeah.
But the second question you ask is,
where are the gaps?
Yes, the gaps around it. So even if the law is there, one thing that is, it's very crucial is, how is it being applied?
Yes.
You can have a law, but if there are no securities that looks to ensure that each and every company that manufactures this or distributes this, how many gadgets come from overseas, across the whole world that enter South African market, are they really, when they enter here, are they really being tested to ensure that they comply to all those regulations and acts that are in place? Some of the question, it's on a certain level, yes. On some level, it's no. Because in some cases, it involves around cost.
Yeah.
You then trust someone to say, oof, I'm selling you these gadgets, and it's being certified by this lab, and it conforms to these security standards. And you just take that certificate, whereas before you can even double check that indeed, this devices does that.
Yeah.
And this we've seen across even in some other countries falling prey to this because they buy technology from other countries only to realize later that that technology that they've actually installed is spying on them.
Yes. You know, even when you mentioned
the gap,
it's Poppy already Eggs.
There. Yeah, the
when
gap does does exist. Yeah.
When you said Poppy Eggs, I was like, Popia. Uh-huh. And maybe let's talk about Popia, right? Because I'm just like, Popia doesn't work.
No, it does work because I mean, it's a law is there, yeah. But as you saying, how far does it go? Because that's the thing, privacy. How sure am I? Sorry. For example, in most of these residential places, when we enter, they collect our biometrics, so they know who we are. They take our the facial pictures, they take our fingerprint,
number plate, number.
So they know everything about you. But the question is, do you have control of that data that they store? Mm-hmm. And most of the answer is no.
Yeah.
Because you don't even have control on how they use your data. They collect your face, they collect your fingerprints. I totally agree with you. The law is there, but does it give us the end users control over our data? Because that is its aim.
Yeah.
To say that my data belongs to me. If I give it to you, I must have control, and I have to see. If you sell it to someone, I must know that actually company A transferred my data to company B for this purpose.
Yeah.
But we don't have that transparency.
Hi, yeah, we're in trouble. In your opinion, though, now that, you know, we've realized that some things are going to be in our hands because, yeah, the law exists, there are regulations, but to what degree they are followed, that is not on us. So what does a digitally responsible citizen look like in today's world? So we know how to actually carry ourselves and protect ourselves as much as we can.
Yes, yeah, people who take time to skill themselves with the type of technology that they interact with every day, those are the people that are generally safe. We can say 80%, 85% are safe because it's not easy to trick them. So those are people that are aware of the environment. Even if they receive a phishing email, they can be able to tell that, junk it even before opening it. Because they learn about these things. So the only way for us to be ahead is for us to skill ourselves. And the nice thing is these days information is there. You don't need money to skill yourself.
Yeah.
There is YouTube, there's data everywhere. So it goes even in our homes, how we educate our kids, how we educate our parents on how to interact with this kind of technology so that we can then be alert when we see, we can be able to identify these threats before they even attack us.
And the truth is, this won't be a one-stop shop, right? It can't be a one-stop shop, but I really do want for people to come out of this with some semblance of knowledge or skill or information. So when you say we need to learn, what is it that we are learning? And if you can just take maybe 2 minutes, 5 minutes to teach us really what to look out for and what some of these skills we need to be armed with are, I think that would be great for somebody who's listening right now.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely. So if we start with security, we need to be aware of the kinds of threats that are happening around us.
Okay.
So when people talk about social engineering attacks, what kind of attacks are they talking? For example, the example that you gave. If someone starts talking to you and then they start digging deep, you need, there must be this instinct that tells you that time and something is off here.
Yeah.
So those on security sides, those are the things. Nowadays we talk about AI. So this is one of the technology that is coming very sharply, and hackers are using it in each and every angle to disrupt, to attack people. So generative AI, these are the types of threats that people, we need to learn about them. What kind of, someone talks about generative AI, what kind of attacks are these? Things that are generated by ChatGPT and so other things. We need to be able to learn about these kind of threats. When we go about the tech skills themselves, so the usage of computers, I think that is without saying that, nowadays kids, they even know how to interact with smartphones. We need to be able to learn how to interact with digital devices. We need to learn how to protect them. If someone asks you, can you be able to install a security patch inside this device? We need to be able to learn those kind of basic skills. How to, I think back in the days, the tech service will know, you buy an antivirus, you protect your computer so that when you connect it to the network, it's not easy for people to then send viruses and so forth to your machine.
Yeah.
The same skills, those skills, we need to build on top of them so that when we acquire these devices and we start plugging them into our homes, those are the first crucial things that we need to be able to implement. So to be tech savvy, we need to learn about this kind of technologies as they emerge in the market.
Yeah.
And the usage of technology now goes with application. That's most... We don't even go to the hardware level now.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these devices, we control them from our smartphones.
This is true.
So we need to learn about how the software applications, how to interact with these things. When you install them on your gadgets, like your smartphone and so forth, know the difference to say the type of application that I'm installing in my device. Is it a secure application or is it not a secure application? And these things are out there. We know most of this application, if you download them from a Google Play, we know they have been tested so that they don't contain viruses. That is the first tick. So you cannot just take any application that you just download from an email and suddenly you flash it into your smartphone.
I'm also thinking about all those streaming platforms, all those bogus streaming platforms that people use. You say play and the next thing it's taking you to a different tab.
All of a sudden you've been clicked an install button and things are already installed in your phone and you're not aware. And those are the applications that are running in the background.
Yeah.
They are collecting data. And remember now in our smartphones, we've got our banking app. So the moment you log on to the banking app, that application that you have installed in, you are not even aware because maybe you were on X or you were on WhatsApp. Someone sent you a link. And most of these things I've seen, these types of attacks, someone sends a link to say there is a special. If you click on this for spa or Checkers is running a special, you click on it, on that link, and it takes you to somewhere. It says, install this thing for you to earn a 200 rand voucher. People fall prey for these kind of things.
The economy is bad. And you know what's interesting about scams, right? And I think this is what people need to be wary of, or to be cognizant of, that in their nature, they are meant to be good. Because if it's not good, then it's not a scam. They won't get you if it's not good. I think the next measure we need to think of, is it too good to be true?
Yes.
Because we know that spa runs adverts on television or wherever.
Yes.
So why are you getting a special link? Also, spa can just send a brochure.
Absolutely. And say no. You qualify for a 500 discount or voucher. Click on this link and we will send you that voucher. And people later realize, because now you click on that link, nothing happens, right? It's because you don't know. You clicked it. It's not that nothing happens. You've installed a malware. You've installed an application that is now tracking everything that you do on your phone. You log on to your banking app. It has got now capturing all those details. And the next thing, you're surprised why in your statement there is the debit order that went off each and every month. How did these people get my account number? Why are these people debiting? It's those small things that we do each and every day. But if you are aware of this, then you can be able to countermeasure and block them.
Yes.
Because you know about them.
Because you know. I'm just thinking now about all the apps that I have on my phone, and they say, we want to use your location. And there's that option while you are using the app, always, never. I'd love for you to speak on that particular one, because almost on every app, Instagram wants to use your location. If you have a game, they're asking you, Aibo, why does it matter so much where I am? So can we talk about that and its significance? And maybe even as part of just the little things that we overlook and we accept without even realizing what we are signing ourselves up for.
Absolutely, no, you're absolutely right. Because that's what you indicated before. If you try to consume something, make sure that you understand what you're consuming. If you're using an app, then it has nothing to do with your location. Why do you want to give it permission to for the app to now track you? What is it that the developers of this application are using that location? Because it means once you say yes, it's recording all the locations that you were, where you are
Imagine.
Currently now. And I've seen many people saying that and one of the biggest company that we know is it does that, it's Google.
Yes.
In Google, from our phone, you've got location and voice detection and all these things. The moment you start talking or you're doing a transaction, it lands. It lands the patterns about that. And the next thing, it then generates or direct adverts based on the behavior or that you've been doing the past days. Maybe you were planning to buy a couch. All of a sudden, when you open anything, you start seeing ads of a couch, and you
all
wonder,
you asked for is, how do I make this cucumber salad? Next thing you
think,
house and home.
Yes. And then you see devices that actually talks to that. It's because of these applications that we've installed. We give them permissions to be able to learn about us,
our
because
mic,
at the end of the day, they
camera.
Are our device. And there is advantage for that because of if these devices are so much protected that we own them, it means then we can be able to then, or it can make our life much more easier. But the problem is they are not, because in some instances they get lost, other people get hold of them. And now it goes to the fact that how protected are they? Do we protect them enough so that someone cannot be able to then unlock, which we know is a different topic that others, they will tell you that an iPhone is more secure, why other people prefer to buy iPhones even though they're expensive. It's because of the type of protection that the device offers. Because once it's yours, it's yours.
It's
no
yours.
One can then unlock that fault.
Yeah.
Even if they steal it, but that particular part that it is owned by you, it belongs to you.
Oof. And finally, as a professional in the space, what is it that is keeping you up at night when it comes to IoT and cybersecurity?
Yes, it's just the aspect of innovating around it to ensure that we learn, because if you look at our country, we are mostly absorbers of this technology. So what interests me the most is to ensure or to learn about this thing so that we are at least at that level where even if other countries like America's or Europe send these devices, we can then be able to start interacting with them and be able to check and ensure that they are safe to be used in areas where it's very sensitive. So that is one aspect that it keeps me, because I'm more into hardware. I get to learn how this device communicate from the hardware side of things. And that's what I love about security in IoT or in hardware space.
And this is not related, but as we were speaking, I'm just like, if data is gold, what opportunities actually exist for us as regular South Africans? Like, how can we tap into this profession, not from a point of wanting to protect ourselves, but from a point of maybe expanding what we know and benefiting commercially from this entire space? So what can you tell us about the opportunities that lie? Because, I mean, if security is a thing, right? If this space is, if there's so much happening in the space, clearly there's something to be gained from this. So what opportunities lie for somebody who's probably listening at home and wanting to tap into it?
Oh, yeah, no, there's quite a lot of opportunities around hardware, or if we talk about smart devices themselves. Currently, if we look at the academic route, there's quite a lot of required skills in South Africa for people that can innovate in this space, and they can be able to play a role in ensuring that gadgets that their citizens or the people for South Africa use are safe.
Yeah.
That's the first part. And to also innovate around the aspect of security, to develop or design applications that are secure or those organizations can use. And yeah, they are secure. So that is on the academic part of things.
Mm.
On the business side of things, there's quite a lot, because as technologies, even now, there's quite a lot of adoptions of this technology. Now it goes around to say, yeah, what is your dream? What is it that you want to do?
Mm.
Do you want to be in the security space? Mm. We've seen a lot of businesses in South Africa now. They are just consumers, so they partner with OEMs, and we know most of these OEMs or these devices, they are internationally produced.
Yeah.
Even though some of them, we do assemble them here in the country, but the brain or the microprocessor or the processors that runs these devices, they are not produced here.
Mm.
They're produced overseas. So most of these businesses here in, locally, they partner with these OEMs.
Mm.
The OEM trains them on how to use these things.
Mm.
So when they come here, because there's quite a lot of fields, you can either go to medical,
yeah.
You can then start manufacturing or assembling devices that you can sell to the hospitals.
Mm.
You can then start assembling devices that you can sell to security industries or to the homes, to secure homes,
mm-hmm.
or even to the government to start monitoring traffic. Because in this world now, and I think this is where, even when I on Saturdays, I do part-time lecturing.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the students that I teach them in hardware is that you learn these skills, but at the end of the day, what you need to do is that you need to apply them outside. Because this is where now you can be able to then create employment. Because when you come out, you can then see that I can then start a company that senses or collects data about traffic. And believe you me, if you can get that running and get that data, there's quite a lot of organizations that will want to buy kind of observation and analysis
Because it increases their bottom line, right? You've got information about their people that they can funnel into marketing, into advertising, studying consumer behavior. So it really is currency.
Absolutely. Just for example, imagine now there's quite a lot of governments or our departments that publishes data, like police.
Mm.
Each and every month they give stats of the types of crimes that have occurred or they've solved in this particular area.
Mm.
That's data.
Mm.
Then now it becomes to us to say, oh, if we are the residents of this area,
yeah.
I stay in Mamelodi and this is my resident. And every month police comes and put stats that murder in this is being so much, kidnappings, attacks, and so forth is so much. That is data that now needs to be analyzed to say, how then can we then bring this thing?
Yeah.
It now requires innovation. What kind of devices can we then put across?
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a lot of talks around drones in securing this. That comes to smart devices, because drones are also types of those devices that operate on a smart platforms.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the kind of thinking or the kind of skills that is needed in the next generation, because even when we read, there is this saying that in the next 50 years, companies will not, so we won't go, our kids won't go to school to be employed in a company.
Yeah.
They will then need to go to school to then innovate and sell their ideas to the end users.
Mm.
So in the next years, there won't be these things of Coca-Cola employing half a million people. No, people need to be innovative now. So they need to then get the data. And this data is the data that every day we generate. We generate data. Someone takes that data, makes it useful. And when I consume it, it then saves me some aspect. And then I buy it. And that's how
As you can tell, every time you say something, a thought gets sparked into my mind. So this conversation won't end, because I'll keep asking you questions. So let me do the prudence and wise thing and end this conversation here. But I really just want to thank you for pulling back the curtain on this topic, because it's often buried under buzzwords of smart tech, IoT, digital life, and people don't even know what is being spoken about, right? But I'm so glad that today you reminded us that privacy in this hyper-connected age is something we must choose to protect and not assume Absolutely. That we have. Because the laws are there, but we know that people are crookery and scammery and all those sorts of things. So thank you for equipping Absolutely. Us with the clarity that we needed. You gave us caution, you made us more alert, and you've given us the confidence, man, to just have these devices but know what to do with them in order to protect ourselves. And thank you for helping my listeners walk away.
Thank
not just a
much.
Little smarter, but a whole lot safer. I really honor the work you do, and I really want to hear more. So I'm glad I've got your number, because I'll ask you all the questions that I need and potentially even ask you back on the show. So thank you for having this conversation. Thank you for opening your wisdom to us and for spending your time with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
All right. Have a lovely evening.
Same to you, man. Thank you. Bye.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to Baptist.